as big of a challenge as Bailey's will be, the bigger challenge will be moving to Maine. I will be changing schools, changing houses, changing friends. I will be changing cities. When I move, I won't even know where to get milk or where the best diner is. It will be a long road to finding everything out and feeling comfortable in my new environment. Since I will be changing cities, I will also be joining a new church. I currently have the privilege to go to a faith-based school, but next year I won't. What if people won't like the fact that I care so much about faith? At this point, I have no answers to these questions, but I have faith that God will help me through the journey, just like Saul had faith that God would help him in his transformation. I know that most of you in these pews are older than me and have been through many of life's transformations. I know that if God didn't help you through these transformations, you would not be sitting here today. You stay here because of your faith, just like I have done for so many years. I hope that my faith will continue to stay with me as it has stayed with you. I hope that I, like Saul, will continue to embrace my faith as I go through all of these challenges and transformations ahead. Amen.
This is one of the most powerful days for me, watching our kids go through this transformation of leading you all in worship. And that was amazing. Thank you, Nicholas. Well done. 4 weeks ago, when Nicholas and I were discussing what are we going to preach, usually we preach on the first lesson, which is Doubting Thomas. I had faith that Nicholas would be able to deal with a much harder text, which is the one from Acts 1 through 9. It begins with Saul breathing murder and threats and persecuting Christians and the end going blind. So Nicholas wrote back to me saying, how am I supposed to talk about myself in this? And ultimately, I said, Nicholas, just think about what the message is. And he wrote back exactly what it's about Saul's transformation, about being this person in this past and becoming this beautiful person in the new. And he hit it on the head, and we all say, amen to that. My particular half of this sermon is not as uplifting, I'm afraid. As I was thinking about transformations, we usually think about transformations in the sense of becoming something new, entering a new excitement, a new part of your life. You're going to be restored or renewed in some way. The older we get, the transformations aren't as pleasing anymore. Especially when we reach a certain age or a certain point in critical care, when that last transformation of our bodies is not at all what we've wanted. We remember those times that we were able to play tennis, play golf, to even get changed on our own, to eat food on our own, to drive ourselves where we want to go, and to remember even the people who we love. Sometimes, though, our bodies fail us in this transformation. On Thursday this past week, I was with Larry and Lib, as Larry was breathing his last. And though Larry's 93 or was 93 years old, it's never easy. Especially if you know and if you've been around anyone who's going through those last stages of hospice care. Larry's eyes were glassed over. He was breathing in a way that's not recognizably human. And Liv, who I've never seen show great emotion and certainly never seen cry, was weeping with me. The man who she loved, the man who she recognized for all these years, the love that was there seen such cruelty happen to the people that we love, to their minds, to their bodies. And we ask why, and we doubt. Thomas was Jesus' own disciple. And when his Savior died, though how many times Jesus said, "I will be resurrected 3 days later," Thomas couldn't grasp it. The last image of Christ in his mind was the mangled body on a cross, nailed through the wrists and through the ankles. And Lib said to me, "It'll take time, but this last image he has right now is Larry gasping for breath." As Larry was breathing in that manner, there was a lady in the hallway over to my right crying out, "Please help me. Please help me. Please help me." On a record that never stopped. 3 months ago, when I was in Holly House visiting Larry, that lady was crying that same call. Lib says she's been doing that for half a year. "Please help me." Her mind is not there. The nurses come and they come. But she right now does not know what's happening to her body, what's happening to her mind, what's happening to her heart. Often then, we get to that place either ourselves or our loved ones, and we just don't know why. And we ask God in our faith, "How can you let this happen? Where is your providence? You said if we pray and we knock on that door 3 times, you will answer it." And sometimes we're left without hearing a knock back. But if that's all that this story was this transformation in our life that leads to a mind and a body that is transforming in ways that we can't control, then what would be the point in worshiping in this place? The last transformation on this earthly ground is not our last transformation. It's our next to last transformation. Because Larry right now is not in that hospital room gasping for breath. That lady who's crying out, "Please help me," that prayer will soon die out, and soon she'll be singing the graces of meeting her Creator. Our final transformation does not happen in the hospital room, does not happen in the funeral home, but it happens when we pass from this life and we are transformed and made new in the next, and we meet God, Jesus Christ, and our loved ones face to face. That is the good news of this faith. That is the mystery of this faith. But it's the one that gives us hope. And it makes us feel new no matter what we face. Thanks be